Welcome back to another episode of Vets and Visionaries with yours truly, Kristen Megan, presented by We the Patriots. Please visit our website at wethepatriotsusa.org so you can learn about our initiatives, our goals, and how we help everyday people when their rights are being violated. You can also learn about our other show, Faithful Freedom with Taryn Gregson, which airs 2 times a week. She has an amazing show. Actually, I have been on her show twice and I'm an upcoming guest. I also wanted to remind you about our first national conference, which is taking place in Boise, Idaho, June 2nd and June 3rd. We have a lineup of amazing speakers. And if you want tickets to this event, you can find more information on the website, which includes a book signing, a more private, intimate screening of Nefarious presented by Steve Dace based off a book that he wrote. I've seen this film. I was blown away not only by the messaging, but the acting. Oh my gosh, you have to see this film. I have seen it twice now, and I'm about to see it a third at this event. But if you use code SECRET50, you can save 50% off your tickets. Like I said, private movie screening, 2 days of speakers, and you can buy individual VIP intimate dinners to have Q&A sessions with some people you may look up to or want to learn things from, like Dr. Ryan Cole, Dr. Peter McCullough, Attorney Lee Dundas, or Mr. James O'Keefe. So please go to WeThePatriotsUSA.org for more information. My guest today is Ms. Maya Han. She is certified in speech pathology. She's also a champion in the health freedom movement. I was so blessed to know her here in Michigan several years ago, and she's been standing tall, although recently moving to Florida, she has not stopped. She helped found REACT. We're going to discuss that organization, which kind of marries into a film we're going to discuss called Spellers. We need to talk about the autism epidemic and how maybe we have misunderstood what is going on inside the bodies of individuals living with autism. And is there a better way to tap into their minds to get them to unlock themselves and communicate? We'll discuss this today with Maya, so please join me. Where do we find a sense of normalcy? The purposeful divide widens as individual liberties are lost. While we feel the lack of unity, solutions exist. Through an open dialogue and constitutional conversations, hear from those who have upheld their oaths and join me in exploring innovative and inspired change through a clearer lens. This is Vets and Visionaries with Kristen Megan, presented by We the Patriots USA, a nonprofit 501c3 organization striving to sustain and restore our God-given and constitutional rights. I would like to welcome my friend and freedom fighter, Maya Han.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So like I discussed in the intro, I really am very curious for not only myself, but our viewers, because we have a wide audience of healthcare providers that I think would learn a lot from the film Spellers, this documentary. And I'd really like to learn more about this because, you know, trailers and advertisement about these types of issues tend to be suppressed. So could you tell us about this film? Because I personally am very excited.
Yes. So if you guys have not heard about the film Spellers, it's a documentary about non-speaking autistic individuals. And the entire world really needs to see this film. I was able to see it early because we provided a continuing medical education course for providers and educators to get CMEs. This film is so important, not just for families to give them hope and a new perspective and understanding, but for everyone that is involved with anyone that has autism. Educators, doctors, nurses, therapists. Really, what we found in this film is that we are underestimating what these individuals are capable of, what they have inside. So to give you an idea what this film's about, it's about these young individuals, kids, some young adults that have been non-speaking their entire lives with autism. And these are the kids that are considered like a level 3 autistic, very low functioning because they're nonverbal. You know, a lot of self-stimulating behaviors, movements, not communicating, maybe not following directions well, maybe not even potty trained. And so we as practitioners, as providers, and the public have kind of just assumed that they're not cognitively able, that they are disabled mentally and unable to participate in society, contribute to society. But now this film is showing us something completely different. What we are finding is these individuals have found a way to communicate through a special program that focuses on the problems that they have motorically. So what we're finding is a lot of these individuals are dealing with not a mental problem, but a motor problem. And it's a disorder called apraxia. And apraxia is something that causes your body and your brain to not connect to the movements of your body. So you cannot control your arms, your legs, your mouth, all of the things that we need to communicate, to function, and to be purposeful in our movements. And so there's this program that's out now that's been out for quite a few years that has been helping these kids focus on motor movements to be able to retrain over and over and over again motor movements so that they can then slowly, through a chaining process, get to the point where they can work on more fine motor and get to the point they can type what they want to say. And now we have these kids and young adults that have gone through this program and are communicating, and what they have to say is so moving and so amazing. Amazing. I mean, there's
a vocabulary. Is it odd that I feel emotional? I haven't seen the film yet.
You will cry. I'm telling you right now, Kristen, you're going to cry. Anybody who sees this film is going to cry, because they give a story. They share a story of being basically trapped in their bodies and being in these since a very young age, being very aware, being brilliant. Some of these kids are geniuses. Their vocabularies are higher than most of ours. And they've been sitting in these classrooms and, you know, just sitting there, bored, unable to communicate, to share what they have inside, all these years, completely underestimated their abilities and their potential. And so now they've broken through their silence and they're speaking, and oh, it's amazing.
Well, so is what you're saying that previously the main interpretation of what is going on in autistic individuals, and I realize that there's a spectrum. So for just a long time, have we not really understood what's going on? Because I know I've seen other documentaries, because, you know, there is a debate on what causes the issues, but let's sidebar that, because the point is we have such an increase in this occurring. And even through the pandemic, we saw people that needed this assistance were left behind. And that is so scary to think that these people may be so intelligent and just kind of like internally muted and locked down, and they just need someone to understand to unlock them. So am I correct in understanding that we've just kind of misinterpreted what's going on?
You're correct. You know, I've been an autism specialist for 25 years. I've worked with this population, severe to profoundly affected. Most of those kids couldn't even attend a school autism program. So I've been working with these kids for a long time. I was shocked when I watched this film, absolutely shocked to see the language output that came out of these individuals. Their words are poetic. We have one of these individuals, his name is Jamie. J.B. Hanley is part of this film came out of a book called Underestimated. And J.B. discovered this program. Never in his wildest dreams did he think his nonverbal son, severely autistic, ever had the potential to communicate, let alone communicate what he had to say. And once he started going through the program, he was floored. And he has been the forefront of a parent pushing and trying to get other parents in the world to see what is actually underlying this condition. And he wrote a book with Jamie called Underestimated to talk about these kids. They are absolutely brilliant. If we can only expect that they have they're completely cognitively intact when they're very young. If we can catch these kids that appear to be severely autistic, to us, our implicit biases, thinking that they're probably not going to be doing much. There's probably not going to be a lot, you know, of improvement throughout life. Maybe just focusing our goals on, you know, functional living, such as potty training and, you know, following basic commands and safety things and maybe basic communication with a, you know, picture board, which has really been where our expectations have been. to now to think if we can help them starting young to acknowledge, like, we need to teach you to read. We need to teach you lettering. We need to start working on the motor deficit so that you can actually push in and eventually move to working on a keyboard. If we can make those goals, sky's the limit what these kids would be able to contribute to the world and have a fulfilled life. It truly is remarkable. It's groundbreaking.
It does sound groundbreaking. That's why I'm so excited to see this film that's going to be presented here in West Michigan, because I have been around enough individuals on the autistic spectrum. I've heard horror stories of, you know, just whether it's the parents or the caregivers not realizing that these individuals can process what is being said around them, about them. And, you know, I always say the government likes to purposely handicap us. And just now, when we're realizing this type of issue you're talking about, that there's ways that we can unlock these people to be able to communicate. And it's no different than, you know, we both teach. And it's like knowing your audience. People are auditory, visual. So it's like we have to get away from this one size fits most. And this is exciting because I feel like we can have, you know, savants, we can have people that may have great ideas and involving innovation or just other ways to communicate. And I just love this because it's a large group of individuals that are just left behind. And rather than handicap them in the regular government processing and treatment of this, have you seen pushback from professional organizations or other providers that think this is hogwash?
Well, that is a challenge. So ASHA, the American Hearing and Speech Association, that is our speech pathologist. I'm a speech pathologist. That's kind of like the American Academy of, you know, our licensure, our who we look to be evidence-based science and practices. That's the creme of the creme, ASHA. Unfortunately, ASHA a few years ago dismissed spelling as a modality to help non-speakers. They watched a few of these therapy sessions that were highlighted on in the news, and they thought they immediately dismissed it, saying that the provider was moving the letter board and therefore was prompting what and wishful thinking that that's what the student was wanting to communicate. And so they completely have dismissed it ever since. And now, though, these individuals with this film are showing they've moved through the program from prompting. I mean, because you need to physically hold these kids' hand, we need to go over and over and over again. Those motor planning processes have to evolve. And then you slowly taper down as they get better and better. And then you fade out the prompts, just like any other therapy modality. And then they become independent, is what we're seeing. So it is, I have reached out to ASHA. I have reached out to the board. I have offered for them to watch the film before it was released and to have a discussion about it. I did tell them that, you know, I had a multidisciplinary panel that has seen the film now, and we have continuing medical education credits for providers all across the country. And I really wanted to bring ASHA into the fold to say, you need to re-examine what is happening with this particular therapy modality. And so far it's been silence. So I don't know where ASHA is going to go once this this film is completely, you know, blows everything out of the water that they've claimed. They are going to have a bit of pie in the face, and they're going to have to retract, I'm unfortunately, what they said. I hope they do. I hope they come around and finally endorse this therapy, because there's many speech pathologists that are concerned that they're not going to be able to provide this because ASHA says that it's inappropriate, which is very, very detrimental to all these non-speaking individuals that want to have a chance to get this kind of therapy and finally break their silence.
Well, I have a question then. I'm not trying to go, well, I never say conspiratorial, it's more spoiler alert, but we have seen, you know, the pharmaceutical industries, you know, when we know there's no treatments for things and they're dismissed as, you know, just snake oil salesman type of products, and it disrupts a channel of revenue. I'm not saying that that's this in this situation, but what do you think, just in your personal opinion, would be a driving force to reject this as far as learning and building off of this, is it that it makes them look like they've been doing something wrong for a long time, or why do you think that is?
It's hard for me to speculate. I do believe that Asha wants to do what's best for individuals. You know, they want everybody to have a chance to communicate and be their best fulfilled selves. So I do believe that everybody in the organization has that drive. Why at this point, and is it that they're just neglecting it? You know, they want to retain that implicit bias that maybe these individuals do not have the potential to communicate. I'm not sure, but there is going to have to be a breaking point. They are going to have to watch this film at some point, because there's going to be a lot of speech pathologists and parents and families that are going to be reaching out to Asha and asking them why. And I do know that JB and Jamie Handley did reach out to Asha as well and offered them the film and asking them to please endorse this therapy or to come and watch it. And so far they've been resistant. I don't know why. I don't know why really, but
well, that's why it's important. Yeah. Well, that's why it's so important. You know, it's like I said, it's so parallel. Like I recently started moving into functional medicine and I already knew how corrupt the regular sick care system was, but we have to be advocates for ourselves and our children. And it's okay to go outside of the box and look into different treatments, different protocols. And this is, I think this is so amazing, because with seeing the rise in autism, you know, not every parent, but some, it's initial, that diagnosis I imagine is, oh my gosh, like it doesn't have to be a huge negative life altering situation. It's almost like relearning how to communicate with your child. And is this type of therapy, is it more also inclusive of muscle memory when you were talking about being guided?
Yes. Yep. Yep. So when we look at apraxia, it's very interesting, because not only have I worked with those individuals with autism, but I also work with brain injury and stroke victims, and apraxia is very common. And oftentimes a physical therapist, an occupational therapist, have to help them relearn how to walk, how to talk, you know, right. All of those have to be relearned. We need that muscle memory to come back, and that repetitive. It's basically the same thing. If you treat autism as a motoric deficit where you have apraxia and expect them to be able to succeed and reach high mental ability, sky's the limit what these patients can do.
So as far, I know, as far as professional organizations, do you have other healthcare providers that are on board that are kind of promoting this as much as you are? I've seen you do the media rounds, which is why I want to invite you on here, because here on Vets and Visionaries, you know, I view you as a visionary. I've known you for quite a long time. And what I like about what you do is you're not just complaining, you provide the solutions, but again, you just said you were providing those continuing credits. So for people who are accused of, you know, being engaged with fringe topics, they're still allowing to fulfill those required extra training hours that they need. So I think that is great. And it also shows the credibility of what you're providing.
Right.
So yeah, I thank you personally professionally for that.
Right. I don't know, you know, science and therapeutic modalities are always evolving. It's always changing. We're always adapting, right? You know, to call it fringe, I don't know if I want to go that far. It's just, we have
not
now
us, the
reassessed,
opposition.
Right? Yeah, but absolutely. And I mean, when we did the continuing medical education, it is certified by the American Medical Association. You know, nurses, doctors, therapists, educators, they all, I mean, the AMA credits are the creme of the creme of continuing medical education, and almost all therapy and licensure organizations accept those. I think chiropractors and pharmacists have their own thing. So aside from that, most providers can use those for their licensure. So it is important that we wanted to make sure that providers and educators really felt that this film was important enough to consider and to at least see it and to hear the discussion. So, you know, because this is a new area and we're breaking ground here, it's important. And that's why we are offering 2.5 hours of continuing medical education, continuing education units for educators, so that they watch the film and then they will watch about a 70-minute post-viewing discussion with a multidisciplinary team. We have a neurologist, we have a couple of medical providers, doctors, we have a couple of therapists, one of which is actually featured in the film, Spellers, and we have a parent whose child is a non-speaker who's been receiving this kind of therapy. So we can get a good understanding from different perspectives, multidisciplinary perspectives.
My favorite word. It's absolutely great.
I mean, hearing a neurosurgeon talk about where in the brain he absolutely sees how this can all make connections now. And it just blew his mind. And it was really neat to see how his mind was blown, because he's dealing with brain deficits all the time, right? And to think that all of these non-speakers could be dealing with something he could specifically pinpoint, he would love to look in the brains of, right? And say, like, let's see what there's an infarct here. And to understand, like, he could see how this therapy would be beneficial, you know, from medical doctors and to how the therapist's perspectives were. It's a great, great class. I really hope that that brings more educators, more speech pathologists, more doctors to watch the film and then to consider the implications of the film by listening to different perspectives across the medical field.
You know, I've been very public about the fact that in my 20s, I had a small stroke, but a stroke is a stroke. And thankfully, I don't shave my face, because I do have like the sensation. I don't feel sharpness. I feel numbness. And my only other side effect is speech confusion. So sometimes I can sound like Biden in a press conference and I mean to say another word and something else comes out. And as someone who does public speaking, of course, that's, people will come after me, but it's part of my disability. So I am actually curious if this is something that could help me with my speech confusion. It doesn't come out a lot. It comes out a lot, especially when I'm under stress. But I, like you said, this could be for another group of individuals to not feel like there's no hope. So you did mention how there are CMEs for this. Is, where can individuals go that would be curious into signing into this?
Well, if you just want to see the film, you can find a film anywhere in the United States by going to spellersthemovie.com. If you want to get continuing education credits, you got to go to my organization's website, which is reactforhope.org. And you can find right there on the events and education page, you'll find everything about the film. You can also find the link to watch the film. And then you can also find the link to register for those classes. And the, to take the class, it's $50 for 2.5 hours. That's super cheap. We wanted to make sure that we were just incentivizing providers to come in and do it. It's basically paying the cost of the CME provider. So we really want to spread this, this hope, this message, get rid of our implicit bias. I know that's such a trigger word for so many people, but it's true. We all have implicit bias when it comes to these people that, that are stimming and spinning and not following directions. And we need to actually look at them as maybe they're having these motor tics, motor confusion. They cannot control their bodies and they have so much to say and they can't say it. And I just want to share a little bit of a story of really the emotional things that have come out through all of this. Okay. There's a lot of autism classrooms now across the United States. Kristen, you mentioned that autism has been on the rise. We have 1 in 36 kids now that are being diagnosed with autism. Autism is an epidemic of massive proportions, and it's continuing to rise. We now have an autism classroom in basically every school district, almost every school. And what is happening, a lot of these classes have nonverbal individuals. Some classes are completely all nonverbal individuals. And we just recently had a case, I can't say names, I won't even say the state, because I just want to protect those that are involved. But these non-spellers that were in this classroom finally were able to communicate through their speller board and to say that they had been abused for years in that classroom. That they were tied down, that they were, mouths were covered. And this was going on and on and on. And finally, one of the parapros that were in that was a whistleblower and said that this was happening, but then there was no witnesses, right? Until one of these beautiful, amazing spellers was finally able to say and confirm that this has been happening. So we really need to protect our kids. Everybody should have a chance to communicate, to share their experience, and to share what they have to offer and to contribute to the world. And I think it's just a beautiful message. The world should watch this, not just anybody that's involved with autism, but every single human being. If you're a human, you will be touched by this film. I highly recommend it, and I hope you see it.
Well, I also think it's good too, because it's like, you know, I have a young daughter who's 7, and we have across the street from me, retired individuals, and one of their twin grandsons is severely disabled with autism. And when my daughter was little, I taught her not to fear him. He was very, you know, kind of yelling and had involuntary motions and things like that. And I just told her, you know, to have a better understanding, but I don't think enough adults have that. Like when there's episodes in public or flying, people need to understand everyone communicates differently. And if we can tap into that, I think we can have a little bit more cohesive existence with this issue that we're dealing with. I just want to go back for a moment and just say, you said one of my favorite terms, which is multidisciplinary, because whether it's in healthcare or in education, I think it's so important that parents, for so many issues and topics, we're told you're not a doctor, you're not this. And whether it's about yourself, I went through this with my own medical journey. I knew I wasn't crazy. Maybe I am, but I knew my own body. And then when I went to functional medicine, everything was validated. So having a multidisciplinary kind of panel or team, you have the parent, the individual, a neurologist, you know, the speech pathologist, it really kind of goes, I'm feeling this. And then you have kind of experts that study the actual mechanistic aspects of this. It just, it validates and it shows like a cohesive understanding. And so that's what I love this so much. And I'm really looking forward to seeing this film. And I really hope, like you said, it shouldn't just be individuals that are impacted this in their personal life or maybe at work. I think we all need, everyone talks about, you know, being unified and being more accepting of differences. Well, that's just not race, religion, and politics, folks. We have different abilities, we have disabilities, and I think it's better that we just hold hands in this and realize not only is this an epidemic, like you said, but let's stop arguing about why this is occurring and go, how do we take care of those individuals now that are living with it? And how do we support the parents and educators who can have better communication? So I really appreciate you coming on here. And I just wanted to ask you before we close out here, have you personally, and you don't have to say a name, have you seen someone who went into this, whether it's a parent or a healthcare provider, that was absolutely dumbfounded and maybe reached out with feedback and realizing what I thought, believed, or was taught is completely wrong?
Every single person that has watched this film has given me that feedback.
Oh, wow. And I'm excited to see this again because I wonder, in kind of processing what you're saying this involves, if this could be something that could tap into better understanding neurodivergence, ADHD, you know, other issues potentially that people have cognitive roadblocks because things aren't connecting and firing together. I just think this is so important. Again, inclusivity, that's the word I was looking for. We hear that preached everywhere.
Tolerance and inclusivity.
Yes. So just, I'm going to come up with my own DEIB version involving understanding differences. So,
but well, I think you have make a good point that this is going to transcend the way that we approach many, I think, disorders, because if we have misunderstood autism, and, you know, and we have this whole idea of autism is genetic. There's this big push with autism is genetic. But in fact, you know, only about 30% of people have a genetic predisposition. There's no autism gene. So 60% we do know is environmental exposure, whatever it is causing it. And we don't need to go down that trail. But if 60% of these kids, something's happened to them, and we understand that there's some apraxia going on, especially with our non-speakers, and that you talk to these neurologists and they're like, there's a place in the specific brain that this could have damage, and these are the consequences. We might be looking at that with multiple disciplines and looking at this as a brain damage. Something's happening in the brain at some point. And then is there different ways to address this? Is this even fixable? I mean, is this something that we're going to be now looking at brain damage or a TBI, apraxia approaches across multiple disciplines?
This is why I think this film has such a big impact, is it doesn't just stop on this topic. Like you said, this could open doors into looking at more root causes and how to tap into other issues that could be going on in our bodies. And I think about history, you know, think about when people were depressed, you know, lobotomies, how we used to do things decades ago. And honestly, a lot of these, whether it's barbaric or completely incorrect, things that we have done, it's not 100 years ago. You know, there are things that just happened 30 years ago. So I think the thing about science is that it really is never settled. And we have to continue to have innovations. You know, there's nothing wrong with doing research. And I love how I think this is going to change many, many lives. So Maya, thank you so much for coming on. I will link in the description where people can find all the information, but could you provide a little bit of information as we close out on your React for Hope?
Yes, thank you so much. Thank you, Kristen, for having me on. And I love your show. I'm so excited that you're doing this. But my organization, I'm the president of React, and it's Research and Education for Autistic Children's Treatment. We're a nonprofit organization, advocacy organization for autism and chronic disease, trying to end the chronic diseases in children and educate families on a variety of things, such as spellers. So we do always hope that people will support our organization as we try to fulfill our mission to end these epidemics, to educate the community, to solve, get to root causes, solve these problems, and help individuals that are suffering. So they can go to reactforhope.org and learn more. Love to have people support us. And please go see a Spellers film near you.
Well, thank you so much. I'm looking forward to seeing it here very soon. And as always, stay strong. You're never silent. And Maya, just keep kicking ass.
Oh, you too, Kristen. Thank you so much.
Thank you.